Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched The Shining. The Shining is a 1980 psychological horror film directed by Stanley Kubrick, based on Stephen King's 1977 novel of the same name. It features the Torrance family, who head to an isolated hotel for the winter where a sinister presence influences the father into violence, while his psychic son sees horrific forebodings from both past and future.
Yeah, look, do you know who's great to go on holiday with? Jack Nicholson. Have a fucking sick time.
Woo!
Jackie boy.
Jackie boy.
Can we start with the amazing fact one of you sent in our message thread today?
Oh, yeah, fuck.
Because I think I just really think it sets the scene for this whole film and the way it was made.
Because this is the thing. The Shining's The Shining, but it's actually like the cooked shit that Stanley Kubrick did people during The Shining that make The Shining amazing.
I read so much about The Shining today. And yeah, the standout fact is such a dumb one, but it's like in order to get Jack Nicholson into like the agitated frame of mind that Kubrick wanted, he only let him eat cheese sandwiches for 2 straight weeks because he knew that Jack Nicholson hates cheese sandwiches.
Fuck, I love that fact. Because you have to imagine Jack Nicholson's a fairly grumpy dude in the first place, let alone on a diet of just cheese sandwiches.
So there's that funny one, and then there's like really sad, depressing stories of like what he did to Shelley Duvall.
Yeah, that breaks your heart a bit.
And even like to the extent where he bullied her to make her go crazy, basically.
Right.
Which you see in the film.
Yeah.
But even like he would tell the crew, no one help her out, no one offer her any support, like I forbid you to do it. And he would, she legitimately broke down. Her hair was falling out. She had a nervous breakdown. It's fucked.
He's a piece of shit.
He's a piece of
big
shit.
Old piece of shit.
People and then, like, he's a vision. And like, look, the film is incredible. His direction is amazing. His record as a director is impeccable. Hey, here's a thought. Have you ever tried directing actors instead of being a big fuckhead?
Brian De Palma was critical of this movie when it came out. And his main thing was that Kubrick can't make horror films because he hates and can't understand people.
Mm.
And that was Stephen King's main issue with this is he said it looks great, but he called it like a big shiny car that actually has no engine inside because he said it's heartless.
Mm.
He stripped the heart out of his story.
I would agree. I really love the film. Like, I'm not shitting on the film, but I don't care what happens to that family because, well, no, I care what happens to Shelley Duvall, but I care what happens to Shelley Duvall in real life. I don't care about Jack Torrance's Descent into Madness because he just seems like a dickhead from the outset.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, I've read too much about Stephen King today. His thing was he hated Jack Nicholson being cast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he's got like a reputation. You know what you're getting with Jack Nicholson? Whereas his big thing was I haven't read his novel, but he said Jack Torrance needs to start out
Tom Hanks.
Not an asshole.
Well, Tom Hanks.
Maybe not Tom Hanks, but in that sort of line. As a decent guy who is a bit of an alcoholic. And has those tendencies. And then you watch him break down. Whereas, you know, when they're driving the car up to the hotel and already he's kind of like ignoring son a little bit. And you just think
he's pretty cold to his wife. You're like, you would murder people.
Yeah.
Just straight off the bat.
Mm. It's not that much of a leap.
No, it's not.
I kind of agree with that then. And also I found myself, so when we first watched this on Letterboxd, I think we all gave the same rating, which was 4.5 stars.
Yeah.
I've now dropped it to 4, and I think it's sliding still, to be honest. And
Damo!
Because I think I'm on the cusp of it almost falling to a 4 for things like that we've discussed where no heart.
It's the heart.
The pacing's a little slow and, yeah.
Well, see, my thing is that
it's still a classic and I love it.
It's a 5-star film in my mind, but I gave it a 4.5 because the more I learned about the terrible things that Stanley Kubrick did, the less I wanted to reward him with a 5.
Mm, yeah.
So mine's just pure vindictiveness.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, Stan, you're a dickhead. Mm-hmm. You don't deserve perfection.
Right.
Because that the other thing is like how he's like, we're going to do a million takes of like you picking up a fork.
Mm.
Oh, the takes are off the chain. Everything I read today, it doesn't even really specify why he wants so many takes. Like, all right, you know how...
Finch is the same, though. David Fincher will do the same thing. He does that thing, though, that I've heard where there's that interview with Rooney Mara talking about getting cast for Girl, the Dragon Tattoo and talking about doing that scene in Social Network.
Yeah.
And apparently there's just like they did that scene, that delivery of the line, you're going to think people aren't going to date you because you're a nerd, but it's because you're an asshole. They did that delivery apparently over and over again. And then when she watched the film, she's like, these are the first take.
Same thing happened in Fight Club. I think Thingo falls down the stairs. They filmed it 40 times and he used like the first or second take.
Yeah.
So there's the scene where we're getting into spoilers now, but Jack Nicholson kills the guy with the axe.
Yeah.
I think they did like 50 takes and he wanted to do like 70 or 80. And Jack Nicholson's like, the actor he's doing it with is 70 years old. And he goes, can we just give him a fucking break? Because that guy broke down and started crying.
Oh, shit.
This is like, do many people work with Kubrick again? I'm trying to think of his filmography.
Surely not.
I've never known anyone to do a movie with him more than once. Mm. He ruined Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. I mean, they ruined their own marriage. Tom Cruise did by being a psychopath. But fuck. No one I know has worked with him. I know that him and Peter Sellers famously did not get on because he was meticulous and so was Peter Sellers, but in a completely different way.
Mm.
This is Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah.
But no one's had a good time with him.
Well, so Danny Lloyd, who plays, what's his name? Dan Torrance.
Right.
Yeah.
The kid.
Yeah, the kid. He was completely different with him. Like he protected him and like...
Is that right?
Yeah, that kid, I read today, that kid thought he was just making a drama film. He didn't know it was a horror because even like the scenes where Wendy and Jack having a big fight in the hallway there in his writing room.
Right.
And she's just carrying like a dummy. It's not even the kid.
Is
like
that
they
right?
protected him from certain aspects of it. And it wasn't until like years later that he watched it and was like, oh, fuck.
Of course, because you never actually see him in a scene with the ghost.
Yeah.
It's always like the ghost and then his reaction.
Right.
Shot.
We're getting cuts to and
from.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. Well, on the topic of ridiculously long takes, I read one fact that was Joe Turkel, who was the bartender, the actor who played the bartender.
Lloyd.
In an interview, he said that the bar scene, they rehearsed it for 6 weeks and then the shoot day lasted from 9 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. And that by the end of the day, his clothes were soaked in sweat because he'd just been working so hard all day.
Fuck. There's so many rumors about that scene because I've heard someone say Jack Nicholson said or something that they did 400 takes of the bar scene.
Oh, fucking hell.
But I don't know if that's true.
That scene when he comes in and he's like, slow night, Lloyd.
Yeah.
They only did 3 takes of the blood coming down the elevator.
Right.
I assumed it was a miniature. I didn't find anything that said it was, so maybe they did it for real.
Yeah, he
they
probably
did. They
only
did 3 takes, but get this, it took 9 days to set up a take.
Fucking hell.
So you know what that makes me think? Yeah. It wasn't miniatures. Because you can't tell me that a miniature would require 9 days to do a take.
But
so
then,
basically that's 27 days for then, one shot in the film.
But that's not even – so it's 27 days, but then – in and around that, they had to figure certain things out. It took like a year to do that shot.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That one shot. Fuck.
Back then, so this came out in the 80s, the rating system for trailers was very different. You couldn't have blood in trailers. Kubrick convinced them that it was rusty water. And so that's in the trailer.
How?
Oh, my God.
He said, there's a bit of rust in the water and the pipes are leaking.
Right. It's an old hotel.
Fucking hell. Do you reckon they were filthy when the movie came out?
Probably.
Yeah.
Although no one ever says, oh, no, the blood.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, man. I think the true horror of The Shining is the making of The Shining.
It raises a good question of, like all the things we're talking about. Like, the bar scene was a really good scene. And, like, even Joe Turkel, the actor, he's then gone on to say, oh, it's an amazing scene. Like, it's my favorite scene from the film, despite what he went through. And then even, like, Shelley Duvall's performance, you generally believe she's horrified because she is.
And same with
Jax.
Yeah, and that blood is he's so iconic for a reason. Like for me, who this is my first time watching it because both you guys had seen it before.
Yeah.
Which only made me more scared, I realized. Because one, Carney, you said this was the scariest film you'd ever seen.
Yeah, I saw it 15 years ago, I think.
Yeah. And then you're both talking like over my head about things that were coming up and how scary they were.
Bathtub chick.
Yeah, well, now I know.
You looked over at me and you just tapped your elbow and I was like, have a good time.
Man, that skin's coming off, boy.
Ugh. That is so – and it's like, yeah, but all of it – like, was his madness in creating this film worth it when we have something that is so iconic? Like, all the things that he clearly obsessed over paid off in a way?
Yes, but at the same time –
I mean, okay. Don't be a dick to Shelley Duvall.
Here's my thing, right? The example, the perfect thing for this is you have like Kubrick's like everyone has to suffer to make their art.
Mm.
And I love this is one of my favorite ever filmmaking stories of all time. On the set of the movie Marathon Man, Dustin Hoffman, famous for going method and trying really hard, is in a scene with Sir Laurence Olivier, right? Mm. Who has an award ceremony named after him. Like he is the top shit Shakespeare, like old school English actor. And so for this scene, Hoffman has like not slept properly for like 3 days, barely eaten anything, drunk just like coffee. So he's really anxious and worked up for this scene. And he's explaining this to Olivier. And Olivier's just sitting there watching it. And then just before the director's about to call action on this scene, Olivier just leans over and goes, "Have you tried acting, dear boy?" And that's the point, right?
Yeah.
Just direct, like, you don't need to kill people to make a movie, Stan.
I agree. There are other classic films where the director didn't torture his cast to get a good performance. In fact, they arguably did the opposite.
Yeah, and look, that kid's really good in it, you know, and isn't fucked up from it. So,
but I mean,
so is Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall, though.
I don't agree with the process, but Jack Nicholson is unhinged because he's unhinged in real life.
Mm. Yeah.
He's stuck in a in a set filming that thing, which went just. I read today how long over it went, over schedule. I know the cinematographer also did Rocky 2, and he was told this will not go beyond 6 months, I think.
Yeah.
And it went 12 months or something like that. So every week he was catching flights back and forth to film Rocky 2 and The Shining.
Wow, that's insane.
I wonder what experience he had more fun on.
And it seems like such an easy movie, well, not easy, but like a more simplistic movie to shoot because it's mostly in the one location. And obviously they're beautiful, amazing sets, but they're already built. They're there. We can just film them. And I know they did have to film them in order of rooms because I did read that they actually, for some of the sets, they had to take them down and build some of the other parts of the hotel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But even still, you'd think, okay, it's technically a single location. It's the hotel, so it shouldn't be that long. And yet it went a year over. That's insane.
Yeah, I read Raiders of the Lost Ark's the only one I remember, but there was two other big movies. They were all pushed back by a year because they were waiting to film in the same studio.
Wow.
And because he built the whole hotel, essentially, he was using the entire studio.
Yeah. And then amazingly came out to fairly mundane reviews.
Yeah. It's one of those ones that's grown.
Well, I was reading some of the reviews that first came when it first came out, and they're not kind by any measure. Mostly praising King's book over the film, and also poor fucking Shelley Duvall. They rip her a new one for her performance, stating like because obviously she's so like limp armed and sort of, and it's there's something odd about it, which I actually think, and again maybe it's that retrospect, it works because you're like, yeah, this is a person who has lost part of their sanity. Which even just for someone, even without her husband going nuts and killing her and trying to kill her, her presence in that hotel would drive, like the whole point is it's driving all of them a bit nuts.
Yeah.
So I think she's already unhinged, add to the fact she's trying to hold on to her sanity so she doesn't become like her husband.
She was nominated for Worst Actress at the Razzies.
Oh,
which is just
for The Shining.
Yeah, which is just bullshit.
Do you reckon the people who gave it, like nominated for that award, then heard about what Kubrick did to her and immediately were like, oh, fuck.
You should be an idiot to not. Like, that's a good performance.
It is.
Mm.
She's fucking great.
I love hindsight reviews.
Yeah.
Like, one of my favorite, like, when they go either way, like, when, like someone will review a film, like, hype it the fuck up, and then a few years later it was like, it was actually terrible. All the other way around, like, I would love to, unless, you know, maybe some of those people, I mean, I've read the book, but I read it ages ago. The book's really good. It's one of his good books, and there's a lot of difference in it. And there's a lot of like there's animals in the maze that come to life.
Yeah,
they do a lot more with the whole Shining thing.
Mm.
I mean, like, I love the story for this film where King found out that Kubrick was making it and was like, oh, you know, if he wants to call me and have a chat, he can. And so Kubrick rang him and just kind of explained all of the things that he was going to get rid of. And then he was going to, no, it was like, I think it might have actually only been, he was going to change one thing. Do you mind if I change the ending to keep the hotel there?
Yeah.
And King was like, yeah, no, that makes sense. Oh, also, if you want me to, like, come in and on set and, like, talk to you about the script and do all that kind of thing. And Kubrick was like, no, and just hung up. It was a whole conversation.
King wrote a script.
Yeah.
In the early stages. Oh, right. And he just threw it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Part of me wishes King had been on set just to create even more chaos.
He hates him. I read today that there's a part of him that enjoys the fact that he outlived Kubrick. There's a mini series, a TV thing.
It's awful.
You've seen it?
Awful. Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible.
I've just heard it's crap. But to make that, basically, I think Kubrick he bought the rights.
Right.
And he made The Shining.
Yeah.
So King had to buy it back, and then part of the deal was he had to sign that he would stop publicly trashing the film, except he was allowed to still voice his disapproval of Jack Nicholson's portrayal.
Okay.
That was the only thing. Yeah. So there was like a period of time where he was just in the media constantly barraging this film, and then it just stopped.
There needs to be a movie about the making of this movie.
It'd be fucking good, wouldn't
there? Yeah. There's docos, but like there needs to be like a disaster artist.
Right.
You know,
it would be better if King was there.
Because that would be sensational.
I
feel like they would actually get into a punch on it somehow.
Well, because you got to remember, so one of them is this like meticulous, insane man, and the other one loves cocaine.
Yeah.
they would have.
You guys are probably more familiar with King's life story than I am, but so he was a cocaine addict and an alcoholic and was pretty shit to his family.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
In certain parts of his life.
So I think it was mostly before the film, because the whole point is that it's a bit autobiographical.
That was, one of the things he loved. This is the heart of the story. It's about a family.
Yeah.
And he watched the film and just like, Kubrick just doesn't give a fuck about the family.
Yeah.
Look, if you watch any of Kubrick's films, though, it's very clear that he enjoys cinema and he loves craft.
Yeah.
He hates people.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, no one in any of his – like, humans are never depicted in any kind or favorable light in a Kubrick film.
Mm. Whereas King, I think, is the opposite. He writes fucked up shit,
but he loves people.
He cares deeply for people.
Well, there's that great story about him with Pet Sematary, where he wrote Pet Sematary, gave it to his wife. She's like, you can't publish this. It's too depressing. He's like, yeah, I know. So they never published it. And then he got to a point where he hadn't finished another book and the book was due, so he just gave them Pet Sematary. And to this day, it's like his biggest regret.
Mm.
He's like, the book's too bleak. The book's too cruel.
Yeah.
I don't like it. It's needlessly unhappy.
Well, that's it. Well, even with the Shining, the book, again, I haven't read it, but when in my research, I was reading about this. Basically, the main Jack's character at one point gains a bit of sentience back, and basically through that then destroys the boiler and blows up the house. Basically lets his family get away. Similarly, Shelley Duvall's character, whose name I'm blanking on.
Wendy,
thank you. She was basically way more of a badass and was like actually quite tough and standing up to Jack and really trying to fight for her son and for herself.
Yeah.
Where we didn't get any of that.
No, that's a very King thing too.
Totally.
Having the mum or the wife.
He hated Kubrick's thing. But Kubrick's argument for it was that if she's too strong and too together, she would never have stayed with Jack the loser for that long.
Yeah,
which is kind of a good point.
Yeah.
But again, this is where if we'd had a different Jack, if we had the nicer Jack and she wanted to believe, no, my nice husband's still there. Yeah. He's struggling with writing or whatever the problem is. Yeah. But because we saw him almost instantly really shift into this real extreme asshole version, there's nothing to hold on to.
Can I say though,
I've
just, as you've described that, my brain's just been processing information and I have to almost be like, actually, you know what? I like King, love the heart thing, sure. But I think what Kubrick's saying is that maybe it wasn't even the hotel. Like maybe that was just Jack Torrance was always going to be, like, always had the capacity to do that. Like the hotel didn't help, but he might have done that whether there was a ghost or not.
That's the vibe you get from his film, I think.
Which I think is fascinating and interesting and a nice take, because then it's like, well, you know, what's real, what's not? Is he you know, making this up just so he can do these sorts of things?
Mm. He clearly has no real faith in humanity as a whole, I think. And that's what this movie definitely shows.
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But anyway, let's get to the scary side of things.
Yeah, okay.
Because for all his craziness, this was a scary movie. And what I liked about it is it didn't rely on our usual scaredy fare.
There are no jump scares there in this movie.
Like, most of the time you're scared and nothing's actually happening.
One. The axe?
The axe into the
room,
yeah. The groundskeeper guard, the chef.
Yeah. But like, with the kid riding across the rugs and the change in the sound, like,
brilliant.
That's what, there's something just internal that turns over at these, at the, especially the sound of this movie was unreal. And then obviously the visuals incredible. Some of the shots he got were sensational and it did, it sort of twisted you up inside in a way that was awful and kind of good.
All the horror is really slow. Like that scene when he goes into the bathroom, you have a tracking shot and you're Jack's vision, and then it you get the reverse shot of him looking at the naked woman in the bathtub.
Mm. Yeah.
And that whole scene is super fucking chilling, even before she becomes grotesque.
Yeah.
Like
He has like this weird approach to horror, because even I was reading this thing today that Spielberg really likes that scene, you know, when Wendy finds the manuscript.
Yeah.
And then any other movie would have her looking at it and then a jump scare when Jack's there behind her.
Right.
But this one, I think he's up on the ledge, isn't he?
Well, no, you actually
see his point of view.
You see his point of view for a while. Like he's just standing there, basically, so that it's not a jump scare. The audience just get the opportunity to watch him and then go back to Wendy.
Yeah, which is Spielberg loves it because he's like, when you do the jump scare, it relieves the tension in the audience. Mm. Whereas this scene keeps it for the whole time because they don't do the jump.
No,
he just naturally comes into the scene, and then you get, because the whole thing of them on the staircase wouldn't be as good because you would have relieved a bit of tension.
Mm.
But it's all fucking building up. It's crazy.
You don't get to relieve any tension until she hits him in the head with the bat and he falls down the stairs.
Mm.
And
yeah.
then you catch your breath, but not in a good way, in a, like, I've got him. And then the next shot is him slowly waking up, being dragged across the ground, where you again, you don't get to relax because he's coming too.
Right. I think there's something with the jump scares where, for your characters, you're empathizing for the characters, part of it is like, oh, they're in trouble because they weren't prepared.
Mm.
Someone jumped out of them, they didn't know they were there, and now they're going to pay the price. But having them know they're there, having time for the villain or the force to approach them, and them still being defenseless and helpless against this slowly approaching force is way worse because they're ready. They're as ready as you can possibly be, and they're still going to lose.
She's ready to get out of here.
Exactly,
That whole scene, though, too, where he's like, he's super chatty and friendly, the whole walking through talking about, I've seen you see my manuscript, blah, blah, blah. And then he's talking, what are you going to do with Danny and blah, blah, blah. And they're walking up the stairs and everything's kind of manic and stressful. But the real terror of that whole scene is then when he just changes gears and he's like, give me the bat. Like, it's just like, game's over.
Yeah.
Give me the bat.
And it's almost like now she's the crazy one and he's sane in an instant.
Just the way, and that's not necessarily. That's not Kubrick. That's just Nicholson just modulating his voice just an octave.
Yeah.
Oh, he's in peak form.
Yeah. He's really good. I mean, it's that and what, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest that everyone's like, oh, that's your Jack Nicholson.
Such little things too. Like there's a callback. So that scene is a callback to earlier in the film. Danny's riding his bike around and he's riding in figure eights. And if you watch Jack Nicholson move up the stairs, he moves in figure eights.
Great.
Like the whole movie's just full of like little details.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold on the 4.5.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
It doesn't give me what I normally want from a movie, which is heart. but it makes up for it in a lot of other areas.
Mm. What's the thing? And again, I would give this movie a 5, except I'm spitefully withholding that half a point because Kubrick was rude to everyone. Like, he's just, oh man, what a crazy man. Yeah. And he never mellowed out.
No.
Like, although I do love, there's the story about the, this is tangentially related, the guy who, the con artist in the UK, this very gay man, just pretended to be Stanley Kubrick for years and like would pick up men and get them to give him money by saying they were financing. He was making a sequel to 2001 A Space Odyssey. Like that was what he, 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Did he look like him?
No, he was, so he was English
and
gay and Kubrick was American and married to a woman.
Yep.
Like, just had no, literally no bearing. But because Kubrick was like a recluse and wouldn't come out and like be like, that's not me, just let it go. Like, it just went on for ages.
He lived in London, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And he was afraid of flying. Oh, he never flew.
No.
Yeah. Such a weird character.
He is, yeah.
He used to call up during the making of The Shining, he would call Stephen King at 3 in the morning. And just be like, do you believe in God? And ask him just random shit.
Oh, fuck, I love that so much. That is the greatest fact.
King hated him.
No wonder King hated him. It sounds like they really could not be polar opposites.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I want you boys to tell me. I know which ones mine are, but what were your scariest moments from the film?
Bathtub, I think.
Yes,
bathtub,
and
totally.
It's been the same for 15 years.
Also, Danny being chased through the maze. Terrible.
Yeah.
Even when he's trying to outsmart him, the whole thing, because you're just waiting for him to get caught.
Yeah. Yep.
You just, and again, no jump scare. You're just he's going to get caught. He's going to get caught.
I would also go with the stairwell scene as well.
Yeah, stairwell scene's great.
Yeah, it's not typical horror like what we've been watching, but it's so unsettling.
And I kind of love that even though, yes, the house and the ghosts are having their effect on him, really, in that moment, there's nothing supernatural about it. It's just a husband who's lost his fucking mind. And there was one other scene that did it for me, which was Danny with finger.
What's the thing's
Tony.
Name?
Tony. Especially when we went that higher pitch or whatever it was.
Yeah.
The red rum.
The red rum.
That red rum sequence is terrifying.
I don't know. Like, from the sounds of it, he didn't force the kid to do a million takes, but that was acted fucking phenomenally because that tore me in half. I was
as he slowly
terrified.
Transitions back to just talking as Danny, and it's the voice halfway between the two when he's basically it's fucked.
Exactly right. Fucked. And I was still at that point thinking, I don't know if I can trust Tony. Mm. I don't know if I can even trust Danny at this point because I wasn't really 100% on the ending because I hadn't seen it. Mm. And so I was kind of thinking, what if Tony takes over Danny or something like that. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, but either way, it did me good. That
just
was
when it, when it wouldn't, when Tony wouldn't tell him why they didn't want to be there. Mm. It's like, tell me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, that voice. All right. Let's jump into how we would survive in this house of horrors.
Now, can I spin this on its head a little bit?
Yeah. Go for it, mate.
Rather than how would we survive in the Shining Hotel? Because we all know we'd be dead. Yeah. So quick. How would we survive on the set of The Shining, working with Stanley Kubrick?
You'd quit on the first day.
Oh, you'd be, no, but you wouldn't be allowed to because you'd quit and then he'd ring you at 4 a.m. being like, do you believe in God?
Oh, fuck.
Also, like,
you can't quit. You have to see them film through. That's, I guess, the
Did
the
he
rule.
Let people quit? Like,
I've got to imagine he fired so many people.
Oh, yeah.
In his life.
And then they would fire them and then on Monday ring them and be like, where the fuck are
where
you?
Are you?
Like,
yeah,
you fired me on Tuesday, you piece of shit.
See, I was just about to say, there's your out. You try to get him to fire you. You just do whatever you need to get him to fire you, but it wouldn't matter.
Yeah. No. So, all right, how are we going? How are we survive? What roles do we have?
Okay. Can I be Daddy? Because I want Kubrick to be nice to me.
No. None of us can be Danny.
All right.
I'm Shelley Duvall. Okay. I'm having a terrible time.
I was going to say I'm Shelley Duvall's assistant.
Yeah. We're all working with Shelley. Like, that's
picking up her fallen hair on the ground. And
literally any role, though, like catering. Because catering, you're like, oh, I've prepared this meal. And what have you prepared for Mr. Nicholson? Oh, yeah, same. No, he'll have a cheese sandwich. Then what you do is you have Kubrick, who's Kubrick, telling you, no, you need to prepare cheese sandwiches for Nicholson. And then you have Nicholson, who's unhinged, being like, give me a fucking steak, you piece of shit.
How do you enforce that? Especially like if he's got an axe in his hand.
Right. He's Jack Nicholson. Like,
surely he can just go out and eat. Jack Nicholson just on the side is a huge tennis fan and they were filming in London and Wimbledon was on. So he faked a back injury so he could leave for a few days and go to Wimbledon.
That's great.
And he lied to Kubrick. And then Kubrick was watching the tennis and saw him on TV.
Oh, God. Oh, because of course they would show him. Yeah, they showed him.
He's there with two girls on his arm. And right. Kubrick was fucking furious.
Kubrick was just like, just cheese sandwiches.
Maybe it was after that. Maybe it was after that. Maybe he was allowed to eat anything. And then he lied to him. And Kubrick was like, fuck you.
That was probably it.
Yeah.
Man. All right. Well, okay. How would we actually survive the Overlook Hotel?
Oh, my God. Well, you get snowed in, so it's not like you can run away.
No.
No.
They've kind of thought of everything.
It is an excellent premise. So, okay, well, do any of us have The Shining?
I think one of us has to.
Okay. Well, if you're Shelley Duvall,
yeah.
You don't have The Shining. I've got The Shining if I'm Danny.
Okay. You got The Shining.
That leaves you.
And you're Jack. You're losing your mind. You know what? To be fair, this makes sense. You're the angriest of the three of us.
That's fair. That's fair.
Like, you're ready to watch like a game of footy and the cable's go. You're basically Homer in the Simpsons ripoff, The Shining.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
I'd snap sooner.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wouldn't even run into Lloyd.
Yeah.
I've seen you after you let someone through in traffic and they don't give you a wave.
Someone didn't give you a wave on the drive up. We didn't even get to the hotel. We're dead.
That's true.
You just drove into the lake.
Fuck. No, yeah, I would have the same problem that Jack has driving up. I'm already angry.
Yeah. And is that the thing? Do you think as soon as you've got a chink in your armour, it's really hard to recover from that?
That's it. You kind of have to be a perfect person to go to the Overlook and come out alive.
Well, you've got to go. Obviously, it's fine in like the sea. When there's a lot of people there, it must be okay. But it's the isolation part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it's on their own.
How long were they there for?
I think they're supposed to be there for about 5 or 6 months. And I think they're there for 2 or 3 months.
Yeah. It's a fault of the hotel staff not to have a rotation policy.
Oh, totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, fucking hell. It should just be like, you go there for a month and then you come off and then another guy's going to go up and then you can come back for a month.
Because this ain't the first time this fucking happened either.
Well, yeah, didn't they, not the previous guy, the one before him went mad and killed everyone or something?
Few years ago,
fuck, they didn't learn.
Yeah.
That scene in the bathroom too where he's telling him he should kill his family is so good. When he's like, I recognize, the look on Nicholas's face when he's like, I know you,
yeah,
I know
yeah.
you. And he's like, no, you don't. I've always been here. Mm. And then he's like, no, but you were the old caretaker. And then it's the line of, no, you've always been the caretaker.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh no.
I'm chilling. I'm a big sucker for like how they shoot things and filmmaking techniques and stuff. Are you guys familiar with the 180 degree rule where you don't cross the, if you've got reverse camera angles, you're going to cross a 180 degree line because it confuses the audience visually. That's the only scene in the film where they cross it because Kubrick wants you to start to think that Jack is becoming that guy.
Right.
So it's just a confusing visual scene.
It is. He's leering the
and
whole time.
You don't
time.
Really know. Like, I didn't pick up on it watching it, but now you think back and you go, yeah, I was uncomfortable in that scene.
Yeah.
And it's because of the way that he chose.
Yeah,
to do
really.
It.
They're just having a conversation.
Yeah.
Well, so look, if strength in numbers is a thing, I think, Tom, you and me are going to have to be like, Carney's losing it. We need to throw him a party. We need to get numbers in here.
Yes. We invite people up to the hotel.
How are they going
to
get in? Snowed in.
Bring your snowplows.
I've already gone mad and ripped the cables out of the engine.
Oh, you prick.
You bastard. I give you the bat.
You give me the bat?
To the head. And then I don't like, how does he get out? She lets him out, doesn't she?
No. One of the ghosts.
I think
the
house
the
lets him out.
Oh,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Well, no. So what I would do is, at that point, I'm not just like locking you in a cellar room.
You just kill me.
You're dead.
Yeah.
I hit you with the bat, and I just keep hitting you with the bat.
But then,
I go and kill Danny. It's got me now.
Would it get you though?
No, probably not.
If you killed somebody, is that enough for?
Does it want me to kill you? Is that the point?
I think it does.
I think there's no way out of this one.
I don't think you kill me.
No, I think it's. I think we. I reckon we could probably. Oh man, you probably kill me.
I think I would.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'd get you out, but I don't think I'd be able to get out.
Then I'd get into the maze. I'd get him.
Yeah, you reckon?
I wouldn't fall for that old trick, mate. That's a clever trick for a kid. He did well there.
Yeah,
I wouldn't fall for that.
You're very confident.
I'd sniff him out.
Just yelling, die! Oh man, yeah. So I guess we're dead.
I think we're dead.
You would die in the maze of like exposure.
I'd freeze to death. Yeah,
yeah.
And then we're all in that photo.
I'd get frostbite. My fingers would fall off. My dick would fall off. Yeah, that'd be the end of it.
We'd be fine though because we'd all be friends together in a photo at the end.
Okay, so what you're saying is that forevermore we are going to be haunting the Overlook Hotel.
Yeah, we just become ghosts.
Here's another angle.
Yes.
We're all writers. Would I choose to, wouldn't I be like, hey, Wendy, why don't we like bounce some ideas off each other? So I don't go as mad as quickly because I'm talking to you.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay. Break the.
I'm not isolated as much because I'm like, hey, let's workshop this idea.
And I'm like, Sean, I'm a bit worried. And you're like, why? And I just said, it just says all work and no play makes Sean a dull boy.
And then I go, geez, that's pretty weird. Hey, lucky we're not snowed in yet.
Yeah.
And we get to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we go, look, mate, that's a great opener. Lose the other 999 versions of that line, and we're off to a crack and start with this book of yours.
Yeah, if we're collaborating, you catch that early.
Oh, yeah.
And I haven't completely lost reality yet.
No.
And we get in the car.
We survive. We go home. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we're halfway down the mountain, and we go, fuck, we left our son there. Well, no, and as we're driving down the mountain, we just look behind us, and Kubrick's following us in his car, being like, no, come back. You have to do more.
He's trying to kill us, and then another car comes and fucking knocks him off a cliff, and it's Stephen
it's
King.
It's Stephen King.
Stephen King. Oh, King oh, saves King the saves day. Our lives.
Yeah. So in this version, yeah, we're trying to escape. It's a crossover of the actual surviving Noble right. Hotel and the making of the film, in that Kubrick tries to kill us when we try to leave.
Yeah,
beautiful.
So Stephen, we win.
Stephen King saves our day.
I love it.
Yeah,
this is our first win.
I think. Well, we've won before.
Have we?
Yeah.
We've talked our way into a win.
Yeah.
This feels like a good win.
This feels like a great win.
Yeah.
Because then Stephen King is like, do you want some writing tips?
Mm.
It's good.
Oh, yeah.
Joke's on you, Kubrick. You fuck. You got to believe in people.
That's the lesson.
That's the lesson.
I've always said that's the lesson of The Shining.
I believe in all of you.
And on that note, that's all the scaredy talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
And I've been Tom.
And if you scaredy listeners have any comments about this episode or would like to say hi, you can email us on 3scaredboys@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter at scaredyboys, or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Psychic of Dowie.
And I'm at Awkward Trade.
Stay scared, everyone.